take a journey back and review some of these feasts so that hopefully we can get in our minds and visually a little bit where they are in the year and get an idea of what they're all about. Now, who can tell me, how can I word this? What is the most common festival that Jews celebrate?
Passover.
Okay, that's an annual festival. Yes, they celebrate that, but that's not the most common one. Well, that's another one. That's another annual festival. I'm giving you a hint here. I'm saying annual festival. I didn't catch. The Sabbath. Yes, the Sabbath. When you look in Leviticus 23, the very first thing that the Lord brings out to the Jewish people, to the Hebrews, is the Sabbath. And remember that Sabbath means to cease, to desist, to rest. And in the Hebrew language, it is Shabbat. And it's the most prolific of the feasts because it happens every 7 days. The other feasts are less common because you can have a lunar Sabbath, which happens once a month, and then you have annual feasts and festivals. So the Sabbath. Now, the purpose of the Sabbath is it's supposed to be a joyous time. It's supposed to be a time of music and singing. And it's supposed to be, every Sabbath is supposed to be a time to remember the goodness of the Lord and His loving kindness. And remember, when you look at loving kindness in the Old Testament, it's that Hebrew word hesed, which means loyal love. Remember the loyal love of God. You're supposed to remember His faithfulness, His sovereignty. God's in control, His power, His righteousness, and His justice. All these things are involved in the Sabbath. And this is supposed to be every week. We took some time, and we're not going to tonight, to look at Psalm 92. Remember, Psalm 92 is a good psalm about the Sabbath. Go ahead and turn to Leviticus 23. We'll start there, Leviticus 23. And you'll see in the very first verse the Lord talking about this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. So that's a sacred assembly of the people. Even these are my feasts. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So the keeping of the Sabbath was a testimony of trusting in the Lord. Remember, when the Jewish people stopped working, they set aside the things of the world and they worshiped the Lord. That was a testimony to everybody else. How about us? Do we have a testimony to the world when we set aside the things of the world on the Lord's day to worship Him? Same idea. Keeping the Sabbath was a testimony of trusting in the Lord. Let's turn to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. This will give us a little better idea of some of the things that the Sabbath was dealing with. Isaiah 56, in verse 1. Isaiah writes for us, he says, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. These are things that they're supposed to do. Keep ye judgment and do justice, For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it. Notice it says, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. So the Sabbath was all about a testimony of the Lord. So to keep the Sabbath, for the Hebrews to keep the Sabbath meant more than simply resting and not doing their normal work every 7 days. They were supposed to rest from the world. Remember that idea, rest from the world and worship the Lord. And in addition to that, we see in Isaiah 56, they were supposed to judge righteously and do justice and remain from evil, refrain from evil. Remember the story of what happened with Christ when he healed the man on the Sabbath, and there was the big uproar. The Lord Jesus was judging righteously and doing justice. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And we get this whole idea from the prophet Micah in Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So, the most prolific of all the feasts, the regular one, the every 7 days was the Sabbath. Then we come to the first annual feast, the Passover, and we are right here in the month of Nisan, and it's hard to see, but right here is Passover. And you see some other things going on there. It says Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. And it's also talking about the harvest here, barley harvest, flax harvest. You have an idea of when it is, March, April. And we have the latter rains. So all these things are going on. So this first annual feast is Passover. The Hebrews call it Pesach. And we find the first mention of that where God is telling the Hebrews, hey, get ready. We're going to have this Passover. Here's the last judgment on Egypt. All that's in Exodus 12. But I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians instead. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Now, Passover is the very first pilgrimage feast. So a pilgrimage feast, and Exodus chapter 23 talks about this. Pilgrimage feast is one where all the men were required to gather together in Jerusalem to celebrate. And the whole purpose of Passover was to remember the time when the Passover is supposed to be the 14th day of the month Nisan. Again, over here, March-April time frame. The 14th day is when God took the Hebrews out of Egypt. And Nisan is considered the first month in the sacred year. In the Old Testament, Nisan is called Abib, A-B-I-B, or Aviv. Abib in Hebrew means fresh or young ears. It's talking about the grain, again, tied to the barley harvest. Or Aviv, which means spring, springtime. And, you know, hence we have the city of Tel Aviv, Hill of Spring. So the Lord delivered all the Hebrew firstborn from destruction by the death angel by passing over their homes, marked by the blood of a lamb, Passover. The Hebrews were delivered from both death and from slavery by applying the blood of the lamb. Now we see in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that our Passover is Christ himself. Our Passover is Christ, who delivered us from eternal death and from the slavery of sin. Look at the at 5:7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. John the Baptist called the Lord Jesus the Lamb of God. We have all this connection here with the original Passover with the Lord Jesus. But notice that it's not just, the Passover wasn't just the firstborn being saved from death. This was God delivering them from the slavery of Egypt, from the slavery of the world, and in effect, slavery from sin. See in verse 7 it says, purge out therefore the old leaven. Get rid of it, that ye may be a new lump. For as ye are unleavened, you are cleansed. For even our Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So that takes us right into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread go right together. On the 14th day of Nisan is Passover, and then the 15th day through the 21st is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Turn to Exodus chapter 12. We'll look at a few things there in Exodus chapter 12. Now, the purpose of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is sanctification. It's God separating His people from the world. They were supposed to abandon Egypt, let Egypt behind, reject the ways of Egypt. In other words, cast off sin, leave the world behind. And of course, as I mentioned, the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the next 7 days of Nisan following Passover. So in Exodus chapter 12, look at verse 14. It says, and this day, and that's talking about Passover, shall be unto you for a memorial. They're supposed to remember this. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day shall ye put away leaven out of your houses. In other words, get it out. Don't take it with you. Clean it out. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. This was something very serious to the Lord. Verse 16, and in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. That's talking about Passover, the first day. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. So there's an assembly the first day. There's a sacred assembly the seventh day. No manner of work, in verse 16 it says, shall be done in them, save or except that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. Excuse me. Then in verse 17, the Lord basically repeats this. Now, when God repeats something, it's important, isn't it? So in verse 17, he starts to repeat this, and he says, and ye shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that is Passover and the next 7 days, for in this selfsame day, Passover again, have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. The Hebrew people came out of the world. They came out of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land, ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. So again, God takes this, tells him exactly what to do, and then he repeats it. Let's pay attention. to what God has to say. So this feast remembers that the Hebrew people had no time to leaven their bread before quickly leaving Egypt. That's the very practical thing that took place. And the timing of this feast is also linked to the barley harvest in Israel. See, God had all this planned. Even before they got to Israel, he tied all these things together. And we understand that leaven is generally in Scripture associated with evil, with sin, because leavening causes fermentation, it causes decay. So, remember how the Lord, God's saying, remember how the Lord delivered Israel, the Hebrews, from the slavery of Egypt. And the sanctification part of it is in remembering how he said, cast off, no leaven, leave behind all the corruption of Egypt, get it out of your house. Now we come to the Feast of First Fruits. We have Passover, we have unleavened bread connected, and then first fruits. Very hard to see there, but it's in the month of Nisan. First fruits is kind of difficult to figure out sometimes in Scripture because it's talked about in various ways. The purpose of first fruits was thanksgiving. And it was thanksgiving for harvest. And the first fruits here in Nisan was thanksgiving for the barley harvest, which was celebrated early spring in Nisan. And then there's also a mentioning of first fruits connected to the wheat harvest. We'll get to that. The time of this was that it followed very closely Passover, probably the day after. And I'm talking about Passover and unleavened bread. Probably the day after unleavened bread, we have the Feast of First Fruits. Now, go to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 15. Exodus 23 and verse 15. It says, thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib, that's Nisan here, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Verse 16, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors. And that's what we're talking about here with the feast of first fruits. Verse 16 again, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field. And remember, Israel's still in the wilderness here, but God's telling them, this is what you will do when you come into the land. And then verse 16 goes on and says, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year. Well, that's something a little different. We have the Feast of Harvest, which is the first fruits, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is at the end of the year. And we'll see that that is over here in Tishri. Okay. When thou hast gathered in the labors out of thy field. Now, Leviticus chapter 23, first of all, talks about this Feast of First Fruits. We're not going to take the time to go there, but it talks about the first fruits, about waving a sheaf of the first fruits of the barley harvest before the Lord on the day after the Sabbath Passover. And then also, number two, 7 Sabbaths plus 1 day after the Feast of First Fruits, offering 2 wave loaves baked with leaven. That's like a second first fruits, a second thanksgiving for harvest. And what that's really talking about is actually what we call the Feast of Weeks, very next one, or what we call Pentecost in the Greek. The Hebrews call the Feast of Weeks Shavuot in the original language. So it's called the Feast of Harvest, Feast of Weeks, and here in Exodus 23, even Yeah, Exodus, or not Exodus 23, Leviticus 23, it's even talked about as being the Feast of First Fruits. So the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, it's the second pilgrimage feast. Again, that's talked about in Exodus 23, where all the men need to gather in Jerusalem. The purpose is, again, thanksgiving for harvest. This time, not barley, but for wheat. The time was seven Sabbaths plus one day after the first Feast of First Fruits, or 50 days after Passover unleavened bread is completed. And so, Passover unleavened bread, first fruits, 50 days later is Pentecost in Sivan. Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. Again, the purpose, thanksgiving. In Exodus 34:22, it says, "And thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks, or of the first fruits of wheat harvest." In Deuteronomy 16:10, "And thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a free will offering of thy hand." Now, I wanted to mention that because, remember, this is all about thanking Lord for the harvest. Thank you, Lord, for providing abundantly for us. And notice it says here in Deuteronomy 16 that they're supposed to offer a free will offering. This wasn't an offering for sin. This was a free will offering. Lord, thank you. And it goes on and it says, "With a tribute of a free will offering of thy hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee." Now that's important. According as God has blessed you, give a free will offering. And that's really the foundation that we understand and how we're supposed to give unto the Lord. As the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Because in 1 Corinthians 16:2, it says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store." How? "As God hath prospered him." So that the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, is the foundation for that. Now, as we saw with the Feast of First Fruits, the first fruits, which is right after Pentecost unleavened bread, as we saw with that, the second first fruits is actually the Feast of Weeks, which is this wheat harvest. Let me just read something here that explains a little bit more about the Feast of Weeks. According to Leviticus 23, two large loaves were waved before the Lord, loaves of bread, by the anointed priests. These were made of fine flour from the new wheat and baked, get this, with leaven. They were a wave offering for the people. They could not be eaten until after this ceremony. And none of this bread was placed on the altar because of the leaven content. Also, two lambs were offered. The feast was concluded by the eating of communal meals, to which the poor, the stranger, and the Levites were invited. Later tradition associated the Feast of Weeks with the giving of the law at Sinai. So again, there's so much more involved with these feasts. We haven't even talked about all the different animal sacrifices that go along with them. But that's the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. Now, the next thing that we came to was the Feast of Trumpets. The seventh month, Tishri, trumpets, Feast of Trumpets, on the first day of Tishri. And this is called Rosh Hashanah. Why is it called Rosh Hashanah? It's because that name kind of comes from, what does come from Ezekiel chapter 40 and verse 1, and from the writings of the Jewish rabbis. In Ezekiel 40, verse 1, it says, "In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year," in the Hebrew, "in the beginning of the year" is Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. And the name comes from the Jewish writings, the Mishnah, which is the oral traditions written down about AD 200, and from the Talmud, which is the commentary of the rabbis on the Mishnah, on the oral traditions, about AD 400. So both Mishnah and Talmud had sections that were specifically called Rosh Hashanah, talking about this head of the year. And the most common name for this holiday is now Rosh Hashanah. But we also know it from the Pentateuch here as the Feast of Trumpets. So what's the purpose of the Feast of Trumpets? Very first day of Tishri, the purpose was asking God for his blessing and to remember and prepare for something coming up. So first of all, asking God for his blessing. And it marked the beginning of the new agricultural year. See, again, all this tied in with the harvest and the planting. It marked the beginning of the new agricultural year. And so they dedicated the crops to God for his provision. They asked for God's blessing. And it was also to remember and prepare. The Feast of Trumpets announced the coming of the Day of Atonement, which would be only 10 days away. Here it comes. And this Feast of Trumpets announced the fact that, hey, remember who God is. Remember what he's done. And also, because of the coming of the Day of Atonement, prepare yourself to repent. It was a time of repentance for the Hebrew people. Again, the timing of this was the seventh month, the first day of that month of Tishri, and it's what they would call a lunar Sabbath because it happened on the first day of the new moon. So, Leviticus 23 and verse 24, it says this, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, the lunar Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation." Holy convocation, again, a sacred assembly. In Numbers chapter 29, verse 1, it says, "And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work." Now get this, it is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. So they used trumpets more than this time. But this was a whole day of blowing of the trumpets, a calling of the people to ask God for his blessing for the coming planting of the crops, to remember who God is, and to prepare for the Day of Atonement, a time to repent. And why trumpets? Well, because trumpets were used throughout history to signal important instructions to large groups of people. We won't take the time tonight, but you could look at Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 and 10 for just a brief explanation of how God used trumpets with the people of Israel to signal them, tell them what to do, when to move, what's important to happen at that time. So, the first day of Tishri, the Feast of Trumpets. Then, 10 days later, the Day of Atonement, or what is known today as Yom Kippur. And Yom means day, Kippur means ransom in the original language. And the ransom is talking about the price of a life. Yom Kippur, the day of ransom, Day of Atonement, we call it also. And the whole purpose here is repentance. And this was national repentance. It was a reminder to Israel that the daily, the weekly, the monthly sacrifices for sin were not sufficient to remove sin. It didn't last. It covered over. It didn't remove the sin. And the proof of that is that even when the animal sacrifice was accepted by the Lord, a man could not approach the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. And so on the Day of Atonement, God said, only one man, the high priest, who represents the people, is allowed to come into my presence, but only with blood. And we already went through that whole process. Again, the time of this was the 10th day of Tishri. This year, that just happened. It was from sunset on October 11th to sunset on October 12th. So it just happened this weekend, the Day of Atonement. And it's 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. Now, one thing that's different about the Day of Atonement is it's a day of fasting. This is the only time in Scripture where God demanded a time of fasting for the Hebrew people. Now, when we look at in the Old Testament, we see that, especially in Isaiah, you go to Isaiah, it talks about many different kinds of fasts that were added. God didn't tell them to do that. The Hebrews added that. This Day of Atonement is the only time that the fast was required by God. In Leviticus 16:29, it says, "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, in the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all." Well, it doesn't say anything about fasting, does it? But it says, "Ye shall afflict your souls." However, in Isaiah 58 and in Psalm 35, the terminology to afflict your soul is equated with fasting. And so that's where we get this understanding that it's the only time that God says that the people should fast. Okay, so we ran through all of those feasts, and now we come to the Feast of Tabernacles. We had trumpets, first day of the month, Day of Atonement on the 10th day. Now we come to Tabernacles, and then there's something here that follows Tabernacles called Solemn Assembly. Solemn Assembly. So what about this Feast of Tabernacles? It's also called the Feast of Booths, or Sukkot in the original language. S-U-K-K-O-T. Sukkot. The Feast of Tabernacles. Exodus 23 also calls it the Feast of Ingathering. In other words, Feast of Harvest. And we kind of saw that already with when it talked about the first fruits. It said, hey, you're going to have this this Feast of First Fruits during the barley harvest, and then there's going to be a Feast of First Fruits again. Not First Fruits, but there's going to be another time at the end of the year at the Feast of Ingathering. So the time of the festival fell in the autumn, when the whole of the chief fruits of the ground, the corn, the wine, the oil, were gathered in. And this Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, was the third and final pilgrimage feast where all the men were required to come and participate. And the purpose here again is to remember and to be thankful. To remember what? What are they doing with the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths? They're remembering the wilderness wanderings. So in one respect, the Hebrew people are remembering where they came from. And they're also remembering how, when they were in the wilderness wanderings, how the Lord cared for them. So they're remembering that. And then there's also the element of thanksgiving, because this is a time of ingathering with the crops. So the thanksgiving is for the harvest, and that's really representing the mercy and the grace of God. The Feast of Tabernacles starts 4 days after the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is on the 10th of the month. Tabernacles starts on the 14th day of the month of Tishri. So the duration of the Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days. In Deuteronomy 16:13, it says, "Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine." But then, after 7 days, it was followed on the eighth day by a solemn assembly. In other words, a holy convocation, a very sacred gathering. And that's why here on this calendar it says solemn assembly. That followed right on the heels of the Feast of Tabernacles. So Leviticus 23:36 says, 7 days shall ye offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. In Nehemiah, it's also mentioned. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 18. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the matter. So we see it established in Scripture, the Feast of Tabernacles, remembering what God has done, remembering where they came from, and also the thanksgiving that was involved with the harvest. Go ahead and turn, if you're not there already, Exodus 23. Exodus 23. We see this established in the very beginning, even before the Hebrews got into the land of Canaan. Exodus 23 and verse 14. It says, "Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year." And that's talking about the pilgrimage feasts. "Thou shalt keep the feast, first of all, of unleavened bread." And that's talking about the Passover and unleavened bread altogether. "Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty." Verse 16. "And the feast of harvest." So that's talking about the feast of weeks or Pentecost. Then he says, "the first fruits of thy labors." There's mentioning about the waving of the sheaves of the barley harvest, which thou hast sown in thy field, and the feast of ingathering, talking about here the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Verse 17, "three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord thy God." So, there's established in Exodus, and then it's given in the law. Turn to Leviticus 23 and verse 33. Leviticus 23 and verse 33. In verse 33, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles." Remember, Day of Atonement on the 14th day, the very next day, the Feast of Tabernacles. So the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work. So again, first day of the month, trumpets, prepare for the Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement on the 10th day, a time of repentance, of national repentance, and then Feast of Tabernacles on the 14th day, and then 8 days later, the solemn assembly. In Leviticus 23, look at verse 39. It says, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Verse 42, ye shall dwell in booths, tents, as it were, 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Now, notice verse 23. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. So again, this whole purpose is to remember God, remember His grace, His mercy, His goodness. Now, this Feast of Tabernacles was supposed to be a very joyous time, a rejoicing time, much different than the Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement was a time of solemnity, of repentance, but Feast of Tabernacles, joyous time. In Deuteronomy 16:13, it says, Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine, thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant, and thy maidservant and the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose. Because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all thy works of thine hands, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. Again, why rejoicing? It's because they are remembering that God chose Israel in His great mercy and grace to make them His own people. And why did God choose Israel? It was merely the grace of God. Abraham, their father, believed God, and the Lord counted it unto him for righteousness. Our time's getting away from us, so we're just going to conclude with this. The world continually tried to hinder God's people. The world tried to distract them. The world tried to openly oppose them and cause them to sin against God. But God, through these appointed feasts and festivals, drew Israel's attention away from their problems and toward the God who loved them. Think about all these appointed feasts and festivals. Every week, the Sabbath, time of rejoicing. A time of separation from the world, leaving the world behind, as it were, being a testimony of worshiping the Lord, of the annual feasts, all the things that involved the annual feasts. Why was this? Because the Lord wanted Israel to constantly remember Him, to remember who He is, to remember His great power, to remember His redemption, to remember His righteousness, His provision, His love for them. The Lord wanted Israel to separate from Egypt, to be sanctified unto God and cast off the things of the world. The Lord wanted Israel to walk in thankfulness. For what? For God choosing them as His own people, for redeeming them from slavery and being under the power of the world, in other words, in Egypt, for providing all their needs abundantly. The Lord wanted Israel to rejoice and be joyful with singing and praise for all that God is and all God had done for them. The Lord wanted Israel to come and ask him for his blessing. And why is that? It's so when they ask, then and God answers, God can receive all the praise. The Lord wanted Israel to come to him in repentance for their sins. So all these feasts have these elements of remembering, of sanctifying, of thankfulness, of rejoicing, of asking, of repenting. What does the Lord tell you as a Christian to do? He tells you to remember Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we are told to do this in remembrance of me, the Lord's Supper. We are told to be sanctified in Christ. In 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. We are told to be thankful in Christ in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We are told to rejoice in Christ. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We are to ask Christ. In 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And the Lord wants you as a Christian to repent of sin. In Revelation 3:19, the Lord Jesus reminded the church that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God loves you. He wants you, he wants me to repent of sin. And of course, 1 John 1:8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, all these things with the feasts and festivals, God wanted Israel to remember, and he had the Sabbaths, all these annual feasts, the lunar Sabbaths. For us, the very same thing. Remember, be sanctified, be thankful, rejoice, ask, and repent. God didn't give us these kind of feasts, but he did give us the Lord's Day. Let's make the very most of the Lord's Day every week. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for how you cared for the people of Israel, how you still do. And Lord, you wanted so much for them. You wanted them to remember. You wanted them to rejoice, to be thankful, to ask you to repent, all these things. And God, you desire that very same thing for us. Help us to learn from these feasts and festivals that this isn't just for Israel. It's an example to us that this is what you want for us too. And we thank you that we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Cleansed. And we don't have to rely upon the blood of bulls and goats, which can never cleanse from sin. Thank you for the Lamb of God. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.